Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So, Brad, this week we actually have some follow-up from Twitter. DC Zellner on Twitter tweeted us to let us know that he had just about the exact opposite experience at Brown Derby and California Grill that I did, which I found very interesting. But I guess it just goes to show you that some places, I guess, have off days or off servers, and you shouldn't just judge a place by one visit.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, if you're judging based on one visit, you're equally giving them a chance to overwhelm you or underwhelm you. So,
right.
Yeah, I found it interesting because I saw, you know, the tweets, and not only that he had such a good experience at Brown Derby, but that he said that California Grill was pretty mediocre or did not meet his expectations, I guess.
Yeah, I feel bad because I love that place so much. He said, every course I had was mediocre. And man, that just is such a bummer to me. I'm okay if somebody doesn't like California Grill. I'm just sad that they had a bad experience.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the thing for me. It's more about like, man, I've had so many great experiences there. It kind of saddens me to think that that's not always the way that it is.
Yeah,
more than anything. But because of the, well, okay, so it's not actually because of this, but I'm going to pretend like it's because of this. I feel like I have the need to prove him wrong or right. So my plan is to try to get California Grill and probably go to, because he actually suggested the Brown Derby Lounge, which I did not know that they had one there. I knew they had one at California Grill. But I like that.
Yeah, because they have it's outside, I believe.
Yeah. So the, you know, I can see that lounge could be a bad thing in, say, the summer or something, but I'm thinking, January 2nd ish, 3rd ish, it ought to be just perfect. So, my plan is to go try that out since I'm going back to Disney.
Yeah. Keep rubbing that in, man.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm going back to Disney, before the other time I'm going back to Disney now.
What?
Yeah. So my parents were gracious enough to cover a large portion of the trip that we took. That was kind of their Christmas gift to everybody, for that last trip. So Nancy and I decided that for our Christmas gift to, and birthday gifts to one another, we are going to go back, January. We'll actually leave here December 31st and drive. And so probably January 2nd through like January 7th or 8th. We're going to go back to the parks.
That is awesome. I am completely jealous of you, but I think it's great that you're going to get to see the Osborne Lights again, right?
Yes, and that is the main reason for making this trip because,
yep.
As you said, on top of all of this, I'm going back again on the 15th for a Disney College Program alumni thing. And so, like, there's part of me that thinks that this idea is absolutely ludicrous. Because Disney is not a cheap place to go.
And you're going three times,
yes,
in 2 months?
Yes, yes. and it's very likely we won't go again for a while. But yeah, you know, we were just talking about it, and I'm like, you know, I've got time off work, so, and we've got the 4-day weekend of the New Year's leading into it. We decided we can drive down, save a little bit of money that way, and the lights will be on the 2nd and the 3rd. So the first 2 days we'll be there. We're going to Hollywood Studios both days to just go watch the lights.
Perfect. God, that's so cool.
Yeah. So I'm like super pumped. And again, like I said, it kind of melds itself perfectly because I'm going to be at Hollywood Studios for 2 days. So there's no reason I shouldn't have an opportunity to go check out the Brown Derby, go check out their lounge area there, and probably go check out the lounge area at California Grill again, maybe, while I'm there.
Perfect. Yeah, well, you can be data point number 3.
That's right, that's right. Where I will, well, I will say that everyone is wrong, and the commissary is the best place in Disney's Hollywood Studios. It's not.
Secretly, we all knew that all along. So this will be probably the last episode that we kind of talk about what happened on our trip, my first and last trip of the year, and your first.
Hey, this was my first and last trip of the year.
Uh-huh.
Because, again, yeah. I won't be there till January 2nd, 2016, right. Man. That's all next year.
But so I just have a few more things I wanted to talk about. The first one is pretty quick. For some reason, when it was called Downtown Disney, I did not like that place at all. But now that it's Disney Springs and they've kind of weaved in the story of it being a hot springs that people were drawn to in Florida, I think now that it has a story and it's not just like, I don't know, Downtown Disney just doesn't sound fun to me. But now that Disney Springs has a story and almost a reason for it to be there, I kind of like it.
Okay, so
I think I've been sucked into the Disney reality distortion field on that one, but I kind of like it now.
Okay, so this is where I would invite those who are listening to go back to, I don't know, whatever the past episode was. That I think it was the one we were talking about the boat cars or whatever, where you were like slamming Disney Springs. You were, I don't see why they're doing this outside of a park. It doesn't make any sense to have this sort of experience outside of a park. They should just do it in
the park. I was slamming
the
boat cars, though. I wasn't necessarily slamming Disney Springs.
I think you were slamming Disney Springs, too. I think you were slamming Disney Springs, too.
I will say that my tune was changed on the bus there. When I heard the new spiel about, you know, this bus is on its way to Disney Springs. Because I was at first upset that it's a new voice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Disney Springs bus has a new voice. It's not the old guy. And it's the old guy on every other bus. To all the parks, they haven't changed yet. But it's got a new voice because Disney Springs is new. But that got me listening. And then, you know, he tells the story of it was a hot springs. And something about that just changed my tune.
That's interesting to me because... I'm going to preface this by saying that my experience with Disney Springs was getting there, walking directly to Jock Lindsey's, so that you and I could record
in the dark.
Yes, in the dark for that live show that we did, and then immediately walking back to the bus and jumping back on the bus. And this is in the middle of a nice steady rain, so it was not optimum viewing time for Disney Springs. But I was kind of surprised by somehow I felt like that was still mostly just Downtown Disney with a couple of new things added.
It's nearly exactly the same, and that's why I can definitively say that adding a narrative to it has made me appreciate it more. Because that's all they did, really. I mean, they added some attraction-y type things that I don't really care for, but adding the narrative to the, quote, park in and of itself made it more interesting and fun to me.
That's interesting. So, and here's something else. I didn't actually get to hear the narrative. I'm pretty sure I was talking to the bus driver during our trip to Disney Springs because we were like the only ones on our bus, and so I didn't get to hear all this backstory. So maybe that's why I just went, oh, look, so they gave Downtown Disney a new name. And that's kind of all that I took from it. But that makes me wonder if maybe, and again, I'm going to reserve most of my judgment. I'm hoping that we'll get a chance to actually go there during the day, during this next trip, because we'll be there for a couple of days and everything. But I'm just wondering how much that narrative gets pushed in itself outside of, you know, just the bus ride.
I didn't see it anywhere. And I was at Disney Springs for like 6 hours on Friday, and I did not see that narrative, that story being pushed anywhere but on the bus.
Okay, so make sure you ride the bus or read online the narrative of Disney Springs, because apparently, yeah, if you're Jeremy, it will suddenly make you stop hating it and actually begrudgingly accept it.
Yeah, and it's weird. I will be the first to admit that it's totally strange, but it worked on me. They got me.
Yeah, they pulled you in. And yeah. And let me just say that, you know, when I say, oh, they reskinned Downtown Disney and put a new name on it, I don't even particularly have a problem with that, because I never really had a problem with Downtown Disney for what it was. And the idea that that they're trying to create a more cohesive experience for that, I think, is in the long run going to be a good thing. But yeah, we all have to recognize that they weren't going to just tear down every store there and go, all right, guys, starting from scratch here.
Sure. And they are doing a lot of construction, but... yeah, it's definitely more of just a re-theme than any really meaningful change.
Okay, so we know now that you like Disney Springs better, right, than Downtown Disney. And since I'm out of things to talk about, what's your next thing?
You mentioned Jock Lindsey, and that place is totally awesome.
Did you steal a menu?
Amazing. I did not steal a menu.
Good, good.
But when we were there Friday, I talked to one of the bartenders for quite a while. My wife and I did. Turns out she is from about 10 minutes from where I live, so that was fun. But she told me that when they first opened, they had like the majority of their menus taken to the point where they were like desperately trying to get more made, and people were sharing menus, and the whole bar had one menu, and I was just like, why would people steal these menus? They're really nice.
I was about to say, if you look at the menu, it's a pretty cool little menu.
Yeah, they're bound. They're books.
Yes.
It's a book with like a leather cover. It looks really nice.
And it's got like little stories in it along. I mean, it's not just a, here's the food and here's your
totally
drinks.
Stealable.
Yes, absolutely. Do not steal the menus though, folks. Please don't steal the menus. But now here's where I have a question though for you. If the menus were that stealable, why has Disney Merchandising not already come out with the commemorative Jock Lindsey's menu that you can buy and take home with you?
I don't know. It seems like a missed opportunity to me.
You know what? I bet I know why. Because again, as we've both said, that's a really nice menu. They would probably have to sell it for like $50 or $60, and somebody'd be like,
"I bet
I'm not paying $50 or $60 for a menu," and then they would just steal it.
When I say it's bound like a book, I mean it's bound like a book, like a hardback nice book, and the cover's embossed with the logo, and it's really cool. And the inside, the theming is spot on. The drinks were delicious. My wife got the cool-headed monkey, which comes in a really cool cup. I got a margarita that was really good. The location's beautiful. They have outdoor seating, which is right on the lake. And my favorite part of that place, they have this enormous diving bell with a booth that would seat probably six people in it. And the bartender was telling me that there's usually not anyone sitting in there because everyone just assumes that that's special and that you have to have a reservation to sit in the dining bell. But she said, yeah, you can just, if it's open, go sit in the diving bell. But it's just like, it's in the corner. It's beautiful. It's huge. It's an actual diving bell. It's just like it's the Disney cherry on top of that place.
Yeah, and it would provide a nice quiet place to have a conversation if you're inside because you know, it's putting walls around you so that you get a little bit more, you know, quiet going on in a place that went on it, you know, when we were there, because it was so late, it wasn't very loud, but I could see that place getting pretty loud.
Yeah, it's very small. The actual inside of the restaurant's pretty small.
And that blew me away, because I really thought it was going to be a lot bigger than that.
It looks huge from the outside.
Yes, absolutely.
But you get in there, and it's pretty small. I'd say there were maybe 10, maybe 12 tables in there.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And then, but of course, again, you have the outdoor seating, so that helps.
Yeah. And the outdoor seating is much more. And that's where we recorded that episode of the show. And you can hear just how loud the music alone is at that place.
It's a bar. They're going to give you a legit experience at Jock Lindsey's.
But I was more than impressed by Jock Lindsey's. That far surpassed my expectations of what that place would be.
You know, now I'm thinking I may need to score a boathouse reservation at some point.
If you get the reservation late, the bartender was telling me you can see illuminations.
Oh, so that's like a cool little bonus. Kind of like going to the Poly and watching, watching Wishes, I guess, huh?
Yeah, definitely. I've never eaten at the boathouse. I'd be interested to see how that place is.
Yeah, it doesn't. I'm pretty sure I've looked at the menu and it ain't cheap, but it still might be worth doing just to get the experience, I think.
Yeah. So I fulfilled another long requested Missing the Mouse attraction experience from you. I rode Toy Story Midway Mania.
So you waited in the 2-hour line and you did?
No. I went to Extra Magic Hours, and Claire and I were not at the front of the line. We were about at the middle of the line, and we went through the gate. And it was totally cool. We walked directly to the back of the park to Pixar Place, and the wait was 35 minutes. So I waited 35 minutes at 8:10 a.m., but it was really fun. really fun. It's hard to explain, and I wrote this down, hard to explain in a way that makes it sound fun, because the premise of that ride is you're basically just in a little car, and you're getting pulled around to all these different carnival games, carnival midway games. And I kept trying to explain it to people, and everyone just looked at me like, that sounds dumb. And it sounded dumb to me, but I can say that it is worth waiting because it is so much fun. And we actually rode it twice. We went back later that night and waited like 40 minutes for it. But yeah, it was real fun.
So you waited 35 minutes and you waited 40 minutes, but now would you argue the 120 is worth it?
I would have trouble arguing that 2 hours is a reasonable time to wait for anything. There's just so much more you can do with 2 hours in any park.
So really, maybe the moral of the story should be, okay, here's the other question then. You could fast pass that, or you can fast pass Rock and Roller Coaster for the A-level fast pass, right? For Hollywood Studios?
Right.
So after having ridden that, would you still fast pass Rock and Roller, or would you fast pass Midway Mania?
Based on wait times only, I would fast pass Midway Mania if possible, because it is consistently going to have a longer wait than Rock and Roller Coaster will.
So basically, you now see, because I think when we talked before, you were kind of like, I just won't ride Midway Mania. But now you would be willing to wait the 45 minutes to maybe 60 minutes that you might have to wait to go ride Rock and Roller to still get to go ride Midway Mania.
Yes, because it's so unique. I was expecting it to be much like Space Ranger Spin, almost like to the point, because when you explain it to someone,
it sounds like Space Ranger Spin.
You say it's kind of like Space Ranger Spin, you know, where you're shooting at stuff, but it's so different. It's worth it. It's everybody. I was a denier. I was a hater, but it's worth it. Our biggest issue with the wait, the 35-minute wait in the morning, was just the sheer fact that, like, we got there at 7:45, I think, and the park opened at 8.
Right.
But there was still such a huge line, even at 7:45, to get into the park. You know, Disney makes it sound like Extra Magic Hours is going to be this thing where, like, oh, you and 100 other people will be in the park. But when you think about the sheer number of people that are actually staying on property... we witnessed what appeared to be just everybody and their dog getting into the park early, but was only resort guests. So that was our only issue with having to wait 35 minutes. And I have mm-hmm. no idea why later that night the wait was only 35 minutes, except for that everybody was at the Osborne lights.
Well, everybody was at the lights, and it had been raining, I think. Actually at that point, I guess maybe rain was still forecast or something. Anyway, when you have that does tend to empty out the parks more, you know. And it's kind of funny with the EMH stuff, because especially morning EMH, it seems like it's almost worth it not to go to that park on that day, because you end up with all the resort guests, especially with everybody who buys a one day one park pass. Uh-huh. They're going to go for EMH, and they're going to be in that park all day long. And so you're doing is adding even more people than what might normally go to a park to those numbers. But I will say that I do like night EMH. I like the extra 2 or 3 hours, because those can get like really, really slow a lot of times. And I feel like it's because it's more time, plus people are worn out from having been in the park all day, because they were still there when it opens, you know, to do the normal rope drop. And if you have small children, that's just it's not going to fly. So I think all of those things make night EMH a lot better than like a morning EMH is.
Definitely. So my very last thing, and to round this trip off, great movie ride with the new Turner Classic Movie sponsorship is probably 100% better than it used to be.
Really? You felt like it was that much of an improvement?
It was almost a completely new, like, door-to-door, almost a completely new attraction for me. We actually rode that twice as well.
Wow. See, I felt like, I feel like the queue is much better, and mm-hmm. I like the new ending, but I mean, everything else was still just a great movie. And now, okay, here's my huge disclaimer, because again, as so many attractions at Disney tend to be, or well, a select few, but they are very much this way. great movie ride is extremely, extremely, extremely dependent upon the cast member that you have in your car.
Right. And the cast member that breaks in the middle.
Yes. And both of my cast members were like super phoning it in.
Oh, bummer.
Like, you know, it was, oh, wow, it looks like we're going through the Old West. Okay. And, you know, it just... I could tell their minds were elsewhere, and I get it. I was that way plenty of times when I was giving my spiel, and I feel, here's the thing, being on the other side of it, I really feel bad because I'm like, dude, I totally cheated some guests because I phoned it in, and I was thinking about what I was going to cook for dinner while, because literally, you do those spiels so many times, like your mouth will be moving and words will be coming out, and you hope nobody stops you, because if they do, you totally have no clue what you were just talking about.
Did you have the gangster or the Old West experience?
Gangster.
Was the gangster a woman?
No.
Okay. Because we had, the first time we went through, our cast member, like driver, was a woman.
Right.
And then Muggsy came in, and Muggsy was a woman. And that was the first time I'd ever had that.
Where Muggsy was, I've had Muggsy be a woman plenty of times.
Huh, I'd never had that.
It wasn't on this most recent experience, but yeah.
And then when we went back through the second time, we had the Old West experience, which is what I wanted. I wanted to have both of the things. And the cowgirl was a woman. But I found that interesting. I've ridden Great Movie Ride probably 10, 12 times, and I've never had a female be the actor.
I'm kind of surprised by that because I've ridden it, I don't know, a lot. And I feel like that's a pretty normal experience where that's actually the case for me. So I don't know. Odd, but yes, I think it works well either way, really.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I didn't have a problem with it. I just thought it was interesting. But let me tell you why I thought it was that
yes,
much
please
better.
Do.
So the video in the queue, when you get into the switchback room, is one in HD. Now it's hosted by Robert Osborne, and it's gotta be 3 or 4 times longer than it used to be. Because the two times that Claire and I rode Great Movie Ride, we didn't see any overlap in that video, that pre-show.
And that pre-show is a lot more interesting now.
It is. And I think it's because Robert Osborne hosts it. It gives you something to pay attention to. It's not just a montage of movie clips.
Yes, because he's actually giving you some information about
right.
what is going on. Why does this clip matter? In mm-hmm. some way, and yeah, it gives you something to attach on to and pay attention to as you go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
And on the complete opposite side of the attraction, the ending film, the room that you go into when the ride's over, is also much better. It's also in HD, and the scenes that they've chosen are really good. They're really iconic. And then the actual track that plays through the speakers of the car, basically the whole attraction is hosted by Robert Osborne now, and there's a little bit of interaction between his recorded voice and the drivers. Seeing Robert Osborne host the pre-show, getting in the car and having Robert Osborne host the actual ride, and then hearing him at the end during the post-show film, just something about that coherence and that cohesiveness through the whole thing just really brought it all together for me. And I think the writing is really clever. He is a pro at speaking. I mean, that's been his job for... I remember being, you know, in elementary school, and he was hosting Turner Classic Movie stuff. So he's been doing that forever. And he just... His delivery on that pre-recorded stuff is just really good, and I love it. I love it. I think they've brought life back to that attraction. And I think they've made it relevant again. And I love it because that truly is a good attraction that I think was suffering for a while because it was old. The pre-show video wasn't interesting. You know, nobody watched it. And I think this spruces it up. And it is very dependent on your cast member. But if you can get a cast member who's into it, who maybe has only done it 5 times that day, I think you can have a much better experience than you could before.
Yeah, because, and again, it's dude, it is so much the cast member, because, you know, you're bringing up the new audio, and I'm like, oh yeah, I noticed that too. And I thought that was kind of cruddy. But as I try to pinpoint what made it kind of cruddy was my cast member's interaction with that and how cheesy that all seemed. But again, it was because the cast member was phoning in their spiel. And so that's another attraction that you really shouldn't make the judgment on one ride, because if you get a bad cast member, you're going to think that's a bad attraction. And if you get a good cast member, you're going to think it's a really good attraction. But I do like the fact that, you know, they spent some time that they, as you said, definitely improved the queue. They improved the overall experience, because the lines are like so much longer now than what they used to be. Like,
oh, it's 35 minutes.
Yeah, that was a walk on attraction most of the, you know, maybe you might have to wait 10 minutes every once in a while. I felt like 20 on the high end. But
yeah.
And here's the thing. I wonder how much of that is that it, you know, that it's now had its refurb, and so people want to go see it after the refresh. How much of it is there's less to do in that park right now? But and I would argue maybe the biggest change, and the one that has maybe drawn more people,
that you can see it.
Yes, that there's no big hat in front of
it. Yeah.
And I know it sounds like I'm, you know, just bagging on the hat.
I legitimately
think people can see it now. And so it's not like, oh, there's some great movie right thing. Who knows where that is?
Yeah. No, I think the ear hat being gone, and it just happened to coincide with the refurb. But I think that is the biggest part of it, is that you walk into the park and that's the first thing you see is the Chinese theater at the end of the road. And yeah, no, I think you're totally right. I think the fact that you can see it now, people are like discovering that.
Yeah, they're like, okay, what are we going to ride first? Oh, well, look, there's the great movie ride down at the end of the deal. Let's just go do that. So
yeah. Or even what's that building down there?
Yes. Yeah. And then you go look at the map and, oh, that's a great movie ride.
That's so funny, because yeah, that's what I was just about to say that.
Yeah, so again, I've got 2 days at Disney's Hollywood Studios, so I will have time. I will go give it another shot and hope to get a better cast member. Again, if you're a cast member listening to this, I'm seriously not hating on you. I feel kind of bad because I didn't get the clearly amazing experience Jeremy got, but at the same time, I can't say too much because I phoned it in myself more than once or twice. Unfortunately, I'm sorry to any guests that I gave a bad experience to at the House of Inventions or at Mission Space Race.
I did get to experience the deadpan delivery, or not deadpan, but totally exactly the same delivery, because both times I rode through it, my driver was the same person. So, like, hearing her banter at the same time and her vocal inflections and stuff happened at the exact same point in the ride both times. I was like, okay, yeah, she is on complete autopilot.
Hey, but as long as her autopilot was still decent, then that's, you know, it still worked for you clearly. So
yeah, no, it was awesome, but it was just funny.
Yeah, it's funny because you think, oh, ha, that's so interesting, and then the second time you're like, oh, that's totally not. There's nothing genuinely like surprising to that about that at all to them. They're just, that's the way their voice goes every time.
It's like going to see a band twice on a tour.
Yes, their live show is so awesome, dude. It's like they're so into it with the audience, and then you go to the next one and you're like, oh.
Oh yeah,
that's how they do. Gotcha.
Brad, I think we're done.
Yay.
That's it.
Have any 3-hour episodes. We kept this to like what, 3 episodes?
Three, yeah.
I think we did great.
For such a short trip, I mean, we just did so much. And honestly, I learned a lot about how to do a theme park right. Because when you have the constraint of, okay, I'm here for 2 days, the mindset changes. And I think that next time I'm there for a week, I will actually enjoy it more and be a lot less concerned with just, you know, following the plan.
Well, and so that's one thing that I really found interesting about this trip, because for both of us, this was a much shorter trip than what either of us was comfortable taking.
Right.
We discussed this numerous times, and it kind of surprised me that both of us came away from this trip with, you know, again, you know, two episodes ago, our primary takeaway being, you know, to slow down and take in the rest of the park, the non-attraction aspects of the park, and how big that was to us. And just the idea that that would happen when we had less time for everything, instead of those times when, you know, you're going to the parks for like 5 days, and that's when you should be taking that in. But somehow I've always felt a little bit more rushed when I had 5 days. Maybe it's because we knew we couldn't get everything done, so we weren't so worried about it.
Yeah. So that's it. That's our trip recap. Probably won't happen again soon that Brad and I will be there at the same time. So this was really fun. And please, we absolutely love hearing from you on Twitter and Facebook. So please follow us on Twitter. Tell us what you want to hear. We are at MTM Podcast on Twitter. We are at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And then our website is missingthemouse.co. And we'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.